Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another edition, the final edition of Panthers Insider for the 24-25 season, and what better way to put a bow on what's been another great year of Panthers Insider than with a Stanley Cup Championship edition of Panthers Insider. Not just a Stanley Cup Championship edition of Panthers Insider, but a back-to-back Stanley Cup Championship edition of Panthers Insider. That's right, folks. Doug Plagans here with you. Lots coming up over the course of the next hour, and we will recap the Panthers' second straight Stanley Cup win here this hour. We'll take a look back and reminisce about all the games in that Stanley Cup final series. Won the Panthers 1-6 games, and, well, just based on the time that they led throughout the series, really controlled that series, really all the way through. Edmonton had a couple of overtime wins in the series, but the Panthers convincingly in six games won the series, and we'll recap all of it coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have some reaction sound as well from the Game 6 victory. We'll hear some thoughts from the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, also the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, the playoff MVP, Sam Bennett. We'll hear from him in just a few moments as well. Couldn't do a wrap-up edition of Panthers Insider without one of the Panthers Insiders. Jameson Olive's going to stop by coming up in segment number two, and we'll recap the playoff run that was, all that and more coming up straight ahead. So keep it locked right here. It's Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health. And a huge thanks to all of you who tuned in all season long, whether it was to this show, whether it was to the game broadcasts, our podcast, whatever you've tuned into all season long. We thank you very much for being on board. It means the absolute world to us. Again, Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, bringing you one last edition of Panthers Insider here in the 24-25 campaign. Quick reminder, the championship parade, the championship celebration, that's going to be tomorrow. Panthers are going to host that tomorrow at noon along A1A in Fort Lauderdale, starting at Ryomar Street and concluding just north of Fort Lauderdale Beach Park. So that's coming up tomorrow. As far as some of the other housekeeping notes that come along with that, all the information's at floridapanthers.com, and it's all laid out in a much more concise manner than I can give it to you right here. There's a lot of details, a lot of information. It's all at floridapanthers.com. That'll steer you in the right direction as far as how to check out the parade tomorrow. It's going to start at noon, so you don't want to miss any of that. You want to be prepared as well. You can get all your Panthers Stanley Cup merchandise, FLA Team Shop at Baptist Health Iceplex. That is open today, tomorrow, until 7 o'clock. It's open every day, Monday through Sunday, 10 to 7. Just letting you know as you prepare for the parade, it is open today today till 7 o'clock, so you can get your Panthers merchandise there in advance of the parade tomorrow, but it's open 10 to 7 every single day. Pantherland at Amerant Bank Arena, where I'm actually set up right now. I'm doing the show from Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. The Pantherland store here at Amerant Bank Arena today, Saturday, open until 6 p.m. So you can get on out here 11 to 6 to get all your Panthers merchandise in advance of the parade tomorrow. And again, floridapanthers.com has all the information for you as it pertains to the parade and everything coming up beyond that. And there will be things coming up beyond the parade coming quickly. The draft is going to be, well, less than a week away. A week ago yesterday, the draft, or a week from yesterday, I should say, the draft. And that's going to take place again Friday evening, and then Saturday. Round one will be Friday night, and we will have that, followed by free agency, followed by going through the offseason, everything that comes with that, the schedule announcement down the road, and then, of course, training camp preseason. It'll all be here before we know it, and then it'll be off to another title defense for the Panthers, hopefully. So Panthers back-to-back cup winners, been to three straight cup finals. This team is on a historic run. Let's relive this most recent Stanley Cup final right now. We're going to get right back into it. Just recapping the way the series went. A little trip down memory lane, folks, throwing things all the way back to, well, a couple of weeks ago. It was a long Stanley Cup final timing-wise, wasn't it? Started almost 20 days ago. You look back, June 4th was Game 1. Here we are already at June 21st. But June 4th, the series began. And it was out in Edmonton, a little different from last year's Panthers-Oilers Stanley Cup final. This time around, it was Edmonton with the home ice advantage. It was Edmonton hosting games 1 and 2, and the Oilers won game 1. Remember in overtime, Leon Draisaitl, 4-3 back on June the 4th. That kicked off the series. Edmonton won the first game of the series, 4-3 in overtime. Overtime was required once again in game 2, and it was the Panthers behind some heroics from Brad Marchand, able to tie the series. Let's listen in. We'll relive the highlights from all the Panthers' victories in the Stanley Cup final. This was Game 2 all the way back on June 6th. The 5-4 double overtime win for the Panthers to tie the Stanley Cup final at a game apiece. Panthers break it out. Reinhardt, a pass cross ice, finds Tkachuk over the offensive line to Bennett. He looks for a trailer, has Rodriguez right, circle a shot. It's blocked by Jake Walman. Sam Bennett out to the right point, handled there by Verhaeghe. Long wrist shot, hit a body in front. A chance, Nate Schmidt across right circle, and they score! And it's a power play goal for Sam Bennett. 2:07 into the game. The Panthers strike first tonight. It's 1-0 here in game 2. Brad Marchand tied up. Leon Draisaitl with the puck around for Klingberg. Back in near side, Kapanen didn't clear it by Nate Schmidt here at the near point. Schmidt scales the blue line, looks off to Luostarina, pass up from Schmidt, they scored! It's Seth Jones there to tie the game. What a nifty setup there, and Seth Jones ties this game at 2. Around on a carom, near side Verhaeghe. He'll send one to the slot, a shot, Tkachuk, and that one blocked on the way. Now it's played up top, Kulikov, Jones right side into the circle, Verhaeghe back up top, Dmitry Kulikov along Rister, and he scores! Through traffic from out of the blue line, Dmitry Kulikov let it rip, and this game is tied at 3 with 11:37 to play here in the second. Here's Draisaitl cruising in. Perry, Draisaitl out to the right point. Nugent Hopkins can't find it. Lundell, short-handed breakaway. Marchand in. Marchand down low. He scores! A short-handed goal for Brad Marchand on a breakaway. He beats Skinner down low, and the Panthers are up 4-3. Then it's Draisaitl behind the net. Draisaitl out to Ekholm. It's high. It's wide. Out to the near point, out low in the zone is Marchand, a pass ahead, Rondell Marchand, a breakaway, heads in Marchand, can he tie the series, and he scores! Brad Marchand in overtime, and the Panthers win game 2, 5-4, the series is tied at a game apiece.
The game 2 Panthers win in overtime, Brad Marchand ending the double overtime thriller in Edmonton. And what a start the Stanley Cup final was off to. Both teams with a win in the first two games, both games going past regulation time. And a lot of folks out there talking about the fact that this could wind up being a classic Stanley Cup final. The Panthers, though, led for a vast, vast majority of the series as things would unfold. And there were a handful of turning points in the series, but Game 3 was a little bit of an outlier compared to the first two games, because in runaway fashion, the Panthers took a 2-1 series lead at Amerant Bank Arena, a 6-1 win in Game 3. Here are the highlights from the most lopsided game of the Stanley Cup Final as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Off a face-off, Anton Lundell behind the net, the offensive end, and he bounces one out front, this one loose, Marchand shot, he scores! And the Panthers are on the board early, Brad Marchand out of the left circle, 56 seconds in, he pounced on a loose puck, and he cashes in, 1-0 Panthers! Bennett far boards, back out to Schmidt at the right point. High slot Rodriguez to Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe a chance, he scores! It's a power play goal for Carter Verhaeghe! Top corner pass Skinner, 2-0 Panthers!
Klingberg, far corner, bumped down by Barkov. A battle for a loose puck. Panthers have it. Reinhardt a shot. He scores! Out of the far circle, off the iron and in. Sam Reinhardt gets the Panthers up by a pair once again. Exactly 3 minutes into period number 2. 3-1 Panthers. Sam Reinhardt. And then Tkachuk in against Klingberg. Puck played to the line. And it's taken away. A breakaway. Luostarinen hands it on. Bennett in. Bennett scores! Top shelf and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 12:34 to go here in the second. What a shift for playoff Sam. The Panthers lead by a trio. Tkachuk right side, down low, Barkov into the corner, Barkov left it for Tkachuk, to Barkov again, right side of the circle, Tkachuk in front, Reinhardt, Ekblad, shot, he scores! A power play goal, and it's one for the highlight reel! They work it around beautifully, and Aaron Ekblad able to cash in, he took the no-look feed from Reinhardt, and the Panthers lead 5-1. Forsling across, Nico Mikkola has it near point. Mikkola at the line, near side. One-time drive, they score! A power play goal! A one-timer from Evan Rodriguez! And the Panthers now lead 6-1. The final seconds tick away, and the Panthers take care of business tonight. A 6-1 win here in Game 3, and the Panthers lead the Stanley Cup Final 2-1.
So that was the Game 3 win for the Panthers. They took a 2-1 series lead at that point. And then after Edmonton would tie the series with another overtime win in Game 4, the Panthers went to Edmonton. Felt like this was where the pendulum really swung back in the Panthers' favor, and they took charge. It was Game 5 when the Panthers started to feel like they were running the Oilers out of gas a little bit, and they were tiring them out. And that's what this Panthers team is really constructed to do. It's what they talk about doing so often. They're built for long series. In Game 5, the Panthers seem to really take control of things. Here are the highlights from the Game 5 victory for the Panthers on June 14th, a 5-2 win in Edmonton.
Off the draw, Marchand heads in, a shot, he scores! Brad Marchand, top corner, and the Panthers strike first with 10:48 left in the first. What a start to this hockey game for Brad Marchand. He beats everybody down the ice, and Marchand upstairs gives the Panthers the first one.
Ekholm can't get the puck along on the far boards. Bennett cross ice. Tkachuk near circle walks in. Wrist shot blocked in. It's picked up by Bennett and he scores.
And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. That first shot was blocked. It went right to Sam Bennett and he doesn't miss from there. The Panthers double their advantage. Inside 2 minutes to play in the first. It's 2-0 and it's playoff Sam again.
Anton Lundell doesn't win that draw from Draisaitl. Out to the point. It's worked across to Bouchard, but the pass broken up. Marchand in. Pass wall. Marchand, and he scores!
Marchand went to the backhand. He sneaks it down low past Pickard. What an individual effort for Brad Marchand, and the Panthers have taken a 3-0 lead here in Game 5.
Seth Jones on to Reinhardt. Puck dumped in down to our left. Near corner, Barkov behind the net. Verhaeghe didn't receive it. Barkov recovers. Backhand out to near circle. Shot,
Reinhardt, he scores! Sam Reinhardt, a wrister from the left circle, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 11:50 to play in the third.
Forsling up the near side, puck didn't leave the zone. Long shot, Draisaitl save Bobrovsky off his chest protector. Luostarinen now sends one long, and he scores on the empty net.
And the Panthers take a 5-2 lead, an empty net goal with 1:19 to play. The final seconds tick away, and the Panthers are 5-2 winners here in Game 5 in Edmonton. The Panthers take a 3-2 lead in the Stanley Cup Final, and the Panthers will head home for Tuesday night's Game 6, needing just one win to make it back-to-back Stanley Cups.
One quart of oil left in the Edmonton engine. See what they're able to do with it.
Well, the Panthers had everything going their way come Game 6 in Sunrise. June 24th, 2024 was the most historic day in the history of the Florida Panthers. Right next to it on the mantle now is June 17th, 2025. Just a week shy of 1 year after the Panthers won their first Stanley Cup, they won their second Stanley Cup in a row, for that matter. Here are the highlights from the historic night. That was Game 6 here at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise as the Panthers won the Stanley Cup. Let's listen in.
Ekholm will swing it across to Bouchard into the neutral zone. Poked away. Here's Reinhardt heading in. Gets around Ekholm in front of shot. He scores! Sam Reinhardt as he was being pulled down. He beats Skinner top shelf. And the Panthers strike first here in game six. Sam Reinhardt with 15:24 to go here in the opening frame. What a play! Bouchard tries to cut in. Gave it away at the Panthers line. Louis-Torino back the other way. Up the right side. Etu Louis-Torino to the circle. Louis-Torino hands it back. High slot. Kachuk shot. He scores! Matthew Tkachuk let it rip from the high slot, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead with 46.4 seconds to play here in the opening frame. What a feed from Louis-Torino, and great patience from Etu Louis-Torino to set up Matthew Tkachuk. To the corner, Barkov, right wing side. Barkov to the trapezoid. Feeds it back for Verhaeghe. Right side boards. Verhaeghe at the half wall. Turnaround shot. Off the chest protector of Skinner. The rebound. Barkov in front. It bounces and they score. It went off Reinhardt. And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead. It went off Reinhardt in front. 2:29 to play in the second. And the Panthers lead game six by a trio. McDavid behind the net. Dreisaitl stolen away. Ekblad. Forsling near side. Verhaeghe gives to Reinhardt. And the puck poked away. Now Barkov to Verhaeghe. Now Barkov right side. Reinhardt to the open. Then he scores! It's a hat trick here in game six for Sam Reinhardt. He cashes in on the empty net. 4-0 Panthers with 6:34 to play in the third. Barkov to the corner for Reinhardt. Tapped on Ekblad to Verhaeghe. Now to Reinhardt again to the empty net. Does it have the distance? It does! 4 for Sam Reinhardt. He scores to make it 5-0 Panthers. Another empty netter with 5:05 to play here in the third. Down to the final 5 seconds. Rats rain down. Lord Stanley staying in South Florida. Last year was greatness. This time it's historic. The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. The Panthers have done it in 6 games. They take down the Edmonton Oilers. The Panthers have gone back-to-back in 24 and 25.
Glorious, beautiful, remarkable, and undeniable. The Panthers at the top of the hockey mountain.
The Panthers got it done for a second year in a row. Speaking post-game, here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. He was asked by my friend and yours, Jameson Olive, about the order in which the Stanley Cup was passed around afterward, and I thought this was emblematic of just how tight-knit this group is. Here he is talking about it.
Those are the small, maybe, insights for people into this group. When the awareness of, you know, it doesn't go captain to Sam Reinhardt, who scored 4. The awareness of each other, all of those guys who touched it first, it was their first cup. So that's what makes these men special. To be aware of that, they're just not selfish at all. They don't need the camera time. They're not trying to put themselves, there's no pecking order. So it didn't have to go from Barkov, you know, to Ekblad, to Matthew. It went to all the guys who hadn't done it before.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there. One more from him. He was asked what makes this roster, this Panthers group, so consistent game to game, especially throughout a tough playoff run like that.
Well, it's just really deep, unusually so. So Anton Lundell, I get it, he's 23 years old, but he's plus 19 in the playoffs, playing with Brad Marchand. So that can't be your third line. Like, Marchand, Lundell, Lustorena are at the top of our scoring, which means Sam Bennett is our third line, who just won the Conn Smythe. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So it has to be Barkov, who's got 3 Selkies. That's got to be your third line. So there's the answer to that question. At least that's the foundation. They're a very talented group of guys. So when you bring somebody in, we're going to play with a really good player. Maybe a better way is the Nate Smith story. He just wanted to get his game back. He just wanted to get to a point that comes in here, and we had a whole bunch of injuries during the year, so he played with everybody. Played with Dmitry Kulikov. Not a household name. But Dmitry's game is incredibly dependable, incredibly consistent. So Nate Smith gets to kind of return to form. He was like the Nate Smith in Washington that I remember seeing him then in Vegas. But in Washington especially, he was young. He was up the ice. He was full of life. Everything was great. And then I had him for month and a half, 2 months in Winnipeg and tried to end his career. So he survived me.
Some humor from Paul Maurice there at the end, no doubt
about
it.
Really,
but of course, Paul Maurice talking about the depth that this roster has, and that was undeniable as the playoff run went along, and Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the playoffs, and well, here he is talking about the honor of taking home that hardware.
It's a huge honor. I mean, the depth of this team is remarkable. The amount of guys that stepped up this year and had incredible years, incredible playoff runs, it truly could have went to anyone. I mean, I'm so grateful. It's such a huge honor, but I truly mean that. It could have went to anyone, and you know, couldn't have done it without my teammates. They were unbelievable, and their reactions, yeah, they meant the world to me.
Certainly a number of different players who would have been well-deserving of that award, but Sam Bennett, 15 goals, led the playoffs. The damage he did on the road, he was front and center throughout, and certainly a well-deserved honor. Fitting that a guy who carries the moniker Playoff Sam has a Conn Smythe Trophy now on his resume. We're going to step aside. We'll keep recapping the playoff run that was. My friend and yours, Jameson Olive, will stop by on the other side. You know him from the Territory Talk podcast, from FloridaPanthers.com, on social media at Jameson Coop. He's going to join us on the other side of the break to recap the Stanley Cup final, the Stanley Cup playoffs, lots more to get to. This is Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. And as always, a big thanks to all of you for being with us all season long. More Panthers Insider next. It's the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back. The final edition of Panthers Insider this season continues here, and we recap the Panthers' second consecutive Stanley Cup. And that's a phrase that I don't think is going to become tiresome, going to get old for anybody. The Panthers successfully defended the 2024 Stanley Cup championship. They are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Doug Plagans here with you on a Saturday morning talking all things Panthers hockey on a day when I guess there have been a lot of finalities now over the course of the week. It's exit day for the players. Some media availabilities coming up a little bit later on here today. And then, of course, you've got all the festivities pertaining to the parade tomorrow down in Fort Lauderdale. And you can find all the information on that at FloridaPanthers.com. And we couldn't put a bow on a season of Panthers Insider without my friend and yours from FloridaPanthers.com, from the Territory Talk podcast, from the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast, Jameson Olive. And right off the top, want to say to you, Jameson, thank you for all your contributions, whether it be on this show, on the broadcast. You're a valued part of what we do every single night. I know all the folks out there appreciate all the work you do in and around every single game, bringing everybody the most up-to-date information. So for that, we say thank you and welcome here this morning.
It feels good to be here, Doug. Obviously, it seems like every time you and I are talking, good things are happening. And, you know, we've been hyping up this team a lot this year, not just because, you know, we work for the Panthers, but because they are worthy of the hype. And in the end, they proved, as we thought they would, that they were the best team in the NHL and, you know, obviously looked dominant in the Stanley Cup final through six games. But overall, you just look at the playoffs as a whole, Doug. They had the best offense and the best defense. Top ranked in both. Best at everything. So when you look at that, you know, the right team won, and they won in convincing fashion.
And you mentioned the offense, and we can get to that in a minute here, but I think that might be the part of the game that really
just showed where the Panthers separated themselves from everybody else, because everybody knows about the defensive ability the Panthers have. They know what kind of goaltender the Panthers have, and Sergei Bobrovsky, who put together maybe the best statistical postseason he's had in his future Hall of Fame career. But the Panthers, I think it was 13 times, scored at least 5 goals in a game during this postseason run, and that is impressive for a team that is known for its stifling defense. But looking at it from the widest lens, and we'll get to what it means for the market in just a moment, because I think you, like me, you walk around now, and especially it's fresh in everybody's mind, but you can't go anywhere right now without seeing Panthers something somewhere, whether it be somebody wearing a shirt, a hat, car flag, decal on a car, somebody talking about the Panthers, somebody with a banner hanging in a window, whatever the case may be, it's everywhere right now. But I think, was there a point in this playoff run? Because for me, I think it was after the Game 7 win against Toronto, for sure, but maybe even after the Panthers ousted Tampa Bay the way they did in 5 games. And a lot of folks looked at the Lightning as a contender, and rightfully so. But once the Panthers beat Tampa Bay in 5 games, in hindsight, I think that was where I started looking at this from our perspective with cautious optimism, because there was still a long way to go in the playoffs. It didn't look like the Panthers were going to be beaten 4 times by anybody in a 7-game span. And as the playoffs went along, the 7-game series win against Toronto after that, I certainly didn't think that anybody was going to beat the Panthers 4 times. And plain and simple, if you're going to knock a team out of the playoffs, you got to beat them 4 times. And from your perspective, was there a point where you started to realize that to beat this Panthers team 4 times in 7 games might have been impossible, and it proved to be impossible for anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the turning points in the playoffs, and obviously the Panthers being down 2-0 to Toronto, down 3-1 in Game 3, they come back, Brad Marchand wins it in overtime. That was kind of the inflection point. That was probably their scariest brush with death they had this entire run. And when they got through that, you're like, okay, these guys are fine. But I think for me, it was kind of similar to how it was a couple years ago, where you go into Carolina, which is, you know, just a great team, a really, really structured team, a team with a strong culture, a great coach behind the bench, and they're always right there with the Panthers in the regular season, and people are always saying, you know, oh, look out for the Hurricanes, you know, this might be their year. And then to go into Raleigh and just do what they did and just take care of that series in 5 games, to me, that kind of was more when I had the, okay, nobody's stopping these guys type feeling. Because even though you looked at West and, you know, the Stars were playing the Oilers, on paper, the Stars went healthy a little bit deeper than the Oilers, but you thought to yourself, I don't think either of those teams is taking the Panthers down in 7 games. So I think for me, it's once again the measuring stick in the East for the most part the last couple of years has been the Hurricanes for the Panthers. Obviously, the Panthers are the measuring stick, but if you are the Panthers, the other team you look at is the Carolina Hurricanes. And when you go in there, you kind of make quick work of those guys. Who's stopping you, Doug?
Yeah, it's a special team that got rolling at exactly the right time. Sam Bennett gets the Conn Smythe Trophy, obviously, and I don't think that there was a wrong answer to this one. If it was Sam Bennett, I know the debate was Bennett Marchand. I thought Sergei Bobrovsky probably deserved to be in the conversation a little bit more than he was. He wound up being on the ballot, got a lot of votes, but Sam Bennett winds up taking home the hardware. When you look back at the full body of work from him in this postseason, was it the amount of road goals? Was it the timeliness of the goal scoring? Was it some of the consecutive game runs he went on? What element of Sam Bennett's game impressed you the most here in this playoff run?
You know, obviously the goals are there. Most road goals in a playoff run in NHL history. Had a nice goal streak there leading into the Stanley Cup final as well. Obviously, just what he does on power play two. Power play two kind of had its moment here, especially in the Stanley Cup final. They really kind of found their footing. But I think for me, it's more the mental fortitude of Sam Bennett. And you look at what they did, having to go through, you know, Tampa, then Toronto, Carolina kind of came and went pretty quick, like I said. But then the Stanley Cup final, and, you know, the way it's painted outside of South Florida, Sam Bennett is public enemy number one. He's the biggest villain in the NHL, but at the same time, a guy that every team wants, you know. And I think for him to kind of have to absorb that it's not even pressure, just kind of that nastiness from the media that then carries over into the fan bases, for him to kind of just weather that and kind of carry that for the team. Because let's be honest, a lot of fans that aren't in South Florida think the Panthers are the bad guys, and they like to jeer them, they like to boo them, they hate that they make their team look terrible most nights. And I feel like a lot of that gets directed towards Sam Bennett. So for him to kind of absorb that and then also go out there and win the Conn Smythe and be the best guy on the ice a lot of nights for the Panthers, I think was just really impressive. And I don't think there's a lot of hockey players that could carry that weight and perform that well.
Yeah, he absorbed a lot of the energy that Edmonton was putting forth in that Stanley Cup final series as well. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, Territory Talk Podcast, kind enough to stop by here on this season-ending edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Sam Bennett got a lot of the headlines, and we like to highlight some of the guys that maybe don't get all the headlines. But I thought it was really cool. There was a video that started circulating a little behind the scenes, getting a view in close from the Panthers bench. And Paul Maurice wanted that fourth line on the ice when Game 6 ended. And that's the Tomáš Nosek, A.J. Greer, Jonah Gajewicz forward trio. And those guys were reunited as a forward line during the Toronto series. And a big reason why this team got rolling, and maybe weren't the guys getting on the score sheet every single night, but the old cliche, we saw them win a lot of shifts. We saw them tilt the ice in the Panthers' favor a lot. We saw Jonah Gajewicz and A.J. Greer, when needed, drop the gloves and do some of that dirty work when the situation called for it. And you could just see, even though they don't always get the most minutes by any means, they are economical and efficient with the minutes they get. They make the most of their opportunity, and they were as big a reason as anything for this Panthers team getting rolling with the, I know, conflicting views on momentum, but why it felt like they got momentum rolling was that fourth line, whether it be game to game or within games. How nice was it to see, first of all, the way that Paul Maurice rewarded them by getting them out late in Game 6 like that, but also just the overall body of work and what they meant to this run?
Yeah, it's a culture thing, and a lot of teams say they have culture, but for the Panthers, you see it every single day. And for them to be out there, and for just Paul to think about that in that moment, let's not forget, there's a couple minutes left on the clock. A lot of people are probably thinking about the Stanley Cup or just holding on or just maybe freaking out a little bit. And Paul has the wherewithal to kind of make that call. It was great. And it's not just that they got it and they loved it. It's that, you know, everyone else on the bench loved it too. And, you know, Nosek, first-time Cup winner. Greer, first-time Cup winner. Gajewicz, second time, but, you know, was a healthy scratch last year. Didn't get to be on the ice. Had to go from the press box to the dressing room to get ready to go on the ice last year. So a partial first-timer there, let's call it, to maybe experience that moment. So those guys deserved it. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of, you know, changes and inflection points in these playoffs. But Paul Maurice tells us all the time, he thinks it was when he put those guys in for Game 3 against the Maple Leafs and kind of turned the tide in that series. So if he says that, it's what it is. It's right. You know, he knows more than we do. But they were great all playoffs. And, you know, just the work they put in, you know, when they weren't in. Those guys were out late, obviously, after every practice. Those were the scratches. Those three guys put a ton of work together. They developed a special bond together. That bond carries over onto the ice, and you see the results. And just a line that was kind of a beacon of, you know, the Panther hockey way, which is funny because a lot of those guys are new to the Panther hockey way. Two of them are. But Paul Ray said they kind of embody it for this group. So well-deserved. And, you know, Nosek in particular, you know, game one sends the puck over the glass. You know, Oilers win it in double OT. That being said, obviously, it's no one guy's fault when you lose a game. But obviously, if you're that guy in the Stanley Cup final, you're going to put that on yourself a little bit. But Paul Maurice went right to him, built him up with confidence, you know, told us after that game, you remind him all the big plays he's made before that and everything he did to help the guys get there. And Nosek goes back out and has, I think, an incredible series as a fourth line center and just does so much good work. And then you saw him kind of, you know, shedding some tears on Paul's shoulder on the ice after the game. That was a special moment. And, you know, Paul said it was one of the most special moments he's had. So just a great line, a great story. And, man, every back-to-back cups now for the Panthers in both years, the fourth line has been really special. Different guys, but special in their own way.
And it shows just the value of having that kind of depth that you can turn to. It's not just a fourth line that exists because we need somebody to give the rest of the group a spell for 30 seconds when they're tired. And it's not just whatever guys we got available at the end of the bench. It's thought out. There's a method to it. You put that combination together, and it caught fire. And they caught fire late in the regular season. That was why Paul Maurice ultimately did go back to them. Jameson Olive here with us on Panthers Insider here on, again, the season-ending edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Panthers back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. And you mentioned the Panther way, Jameson. That was a good phrase that you just threw out there. And when you look at the way this team operates and the culture within the dressing room and everything that goes along with it, so many of these things, and I've done some radio hits lately and explained to a lot of people that there's so many things that happen with this team because the guy wearing the C, Alexander Barkov, maybe his ability as a captain is
under the radar, understated, because he's a quieter guy. He's not the loudest guy, but the way he leads by example is better than any lead by example captain that I think we've seen in recent years in the NHL. There are a lot of things with this team that are made possible, and Paul Maurice has used the phrase the Barkov effect. There are a lot of things that are made possible because of the kind of guy you have wearing the C on his jersey. And I've mentioned it as it's almost like you have a player with all-world skill, but who has a fourth-line mentality, in that there's no task that he's above. You ask Alexander Barkov to do anything for the betterment of the team, and he's going to go out and do it. And when your most all-around skilled player and your captain is willing to do anything, well, that means everybody else has to kind of fall in line behind him. And it's not just Barkov. Matthew Tkachuk's the same way. Sam Reinhart's the same way. You go right down the list. But is this a very unique situation? A lot of folks out there are going to wonder, how can we copy what the Panthers have? Well, unless you have guys that run your dressing room like that, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, no, for the Panthers and Sasha Barkov, we've said before, the perfect captain for this group, just because he does lead by example, but at the same time, especially over the years, more comfortable speaking up as well. And guys always say when Barky speaks, room goes quiet, everyone listens. And you touched on it there, but I think his generals really matter. You know, Tkachuk, Ekblad, Reinhart, there's a million guys in that room, but how they, you know, lift Barkey up, but at the same time also look to Barkey and give him the megaphone when it's time. And, you know, you talk about locker rooms and culture and leadership, but I think for the Panthers, yes, they have that one singular leader in Barkov, but every guy in that room has the responsibility of being a leader. Every guy in that room looks to the left, looks to the right, and they say, we're all leaders here. We're all accountable. We're all going to lift each other up. And I go back to that clip last year in the Stanley Cup final of Connor McDavid kind of just chewing out the group when they were down on the Panthers big, the dig bleeping in right now. It's not good enough. And I just don't think that would ever happen in the Panthers room. And it's unfair to, I'm not judging them just based on that one clip, but I'm saying even just a one clip like that wouldn't happen in the Panthers locker room. And we've talked to the guys before about when they've been in situations where they've been down big, where they've been backs against the wall, and they always say, everyone's talking. Everyone's talking. Everyone's hooting, hollering, picking each other up, saying, let's go, we got this, let's go, let's get out there. It's never quiet. It's never the one guy yelling at the group, and that matters. And it's not just us anymore. It's not just the guys. This has been going on for a couple of years now, and everyone that comes here, everyone that's left here, everyone that's still here, they all say the same thing.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. And, well, Jameson, one more before we put you on your way, plain and simple. Does cup number two in your mind, I know it probably hasn't even fully set in for you yet, but does cup number two in your mind feel any different than cup number one did?
It feels very different. Obviously, last year was kind of just insane, just because it shouldn't be a surprise because you were in the final the year before, but just the fact that the Florida Panthers, you know, one of the most forlorn franchises in NHL history for a lot of years, suddenly was Stanley Cup champions, top of the world. You win in Game 7, 3-0 to Game 7. Just an incredible series, a series that felt like it took a month. It was a long series last year. So a different feeling, but then you go to this year, and I think for this year it's more the chest out, the kind of we're the big dogs now type feeling.
There was an expectation.
Yes. And when you go into a season with an expectation and then execute, that says something about your group. And Evan Rodriguez said this was much harder than last year because of all that. And because they, you know, went through last year and obviously had tired legs, and the regular season was not a cakewalk by any means. So I think this year, I think it's more exciting big picture because now the Panthers are in a very small group. You know, the only three teams have gone back to back in the salary cap era: Penguins, Lightning, Panthers.
I believe only 10 franchises ever.
Yep. And, you know, we talked about it before, but the amount of banners, the amount of hardware the Panthers have accumulated the last couple of years, this is suddenly a storied franchise after just a couple of years with all the history they've just quickly got here. So that's big. And now, the exciting thing is just now the Panthers are that flag bearer. They are the number one team in the NHL for a lot of reasons, and they're the team now that every other team's looking at saying, man, we need to be a little bit more like the Panthers. How do we catch up to those guys? And they're going to head into next year trying to be the first three-peat ever in the salary cap era. And you look at the roster, regardless of what happens in free agency, they're going to have enough guys here to get it done. So it's just exciting, and it's also, you know, you go back 3 years ago, the loss to Vegas, and that run, I think, was special for current Panther fans. Panther fans that paid their dues, were there for the bad years, and got a fun run again like that. And then you go to the Cup last year, and that was a lot of new people coming in and saying, oh, well, this team's great. You know, I tuned them out a couple years ago, but I'm tuning back in, and it's awesome. And now this year's Cup run definitely felt like it's for all of South Florida. Everyone's involved now, and every team is, you know, wants that, and they want that kind of backing. And I think the Panthers now, they're all celebrities down here. They were for a while, but now it's just, this is a big deal in South Florida beyond hockey. This is the best team down here. You talk about the Heat, you talk about the Dolphins, talk about Inter Miami. The Panthers are the talk of the town right now. It's awesome. Like you said, I mean, the amount of people I saw in jerseys in 95-degree weather the other day, I hope they're all okay. I hope everyone's drinking water and not passing out, but that is incredible. The parade's going to be incredible this year, hopefully. I think there's only 10% chance of rain, knock on wood. It's going to be a little bit drier this year. This year, make sure to bring the sunscreen, but it's going to be awesome. And like I said, it's also just feels like when you look at the contracts, you know, Barkey's got 5 years left, Chucky's 5 years left, Seth Jones 5 years left, Gus 7 years left, I believe. So many, Reinhardt 7 years left. So many guys in this core are locked up and still at the kind of early half of their prime years that this is a window. And the fact that you've accomplished so much at the beginning of the window just makes the rest of the window that much more exciting.
Big deal. I think the phrase you used, it was something to the effect of big deal, inside hockey, outside hockey, whatever. That's you. That's you, Jameson Olive. You used that phrase as well. We thank you very much, as always, for stopping by here on Panthers Insider, and we thank you very much for all the contributions on our various platforms throughout the year. And, of course, we direct everybody over to the Territory Talk podcast, because that certainly won't stop over the course of the offseason. There's always something to talk about. You've got a draft coming up here pretty soon, and then, of course, free agency after that, and then we'll be already counting down the days to the preseason and training camp and everything that goes along with that, and looking ahead to a new Panthers season before too long. Another short off season on the way, but a good problem to have if you ask anybody in and around the Florida Panthers. Again, Jameson Olive, thank you very much for being with us here today. And I would say have a great summer, but that sounds very final, like I'm not going to be seeing you, you know, every day or two anyways. So Jameson Olive, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for stopping by.
You too, Doug. Thanks.
That's Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com. And the Territory Talk podcast, kind enough to join us here. We're going to step aside. We'll come back. More Panthers Insider, the season-ending edition of Panthers Insider, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Back here to wrap things on Panthers Insider, the final edition of Panthers Insider and what's been a historic 24-25 season for the Florida Panthers. Huge thanks, Jameson Olive, for stopping by the last segment. We can start there. Big thanks to him for all the work all season long on this show, on the broadcast, all his contributions greatly appreciated. And I know I speak for everybody out there in the Panther world thanking Jameson for the great work. Thanks, Dan Day, on the other side of the glass. Can't forget you, sir. Great job all season long. A lot of the behind-the-scenes work on this show, Dan's been there for it, so we thank you very much, Dan. Everybody at all of our radio stations that we work with across South Florida and beyond, we thank you very much for the fine work, not only on this show, but the broadcasts as well, the Panthers PR departments, the hockey operations departments, of course, the players for providing all the memories on the ice this season. And most of all, folks, we can't do it without you. Thank you very much for being on board with us all season long. It means more than any of you will ever know. If you listen to this show once or every week, if you listen to our game broadcast once or every game, we can't tell you how much it means to us. So a huge thanks to all of you for being there with us every step of the way, and we already can't wait until next time around. We'll be right back on the circuit before we know it, just a few months away from training camp, the preseason, everything that comes along with that. But in the meantime, everybody, we can't say it enough. Thank you. Enjoy all of this to the max. We are in the golden era of Panthers hockey. And again, it means the world to have all of you riding right alongside here as we enjoy what this Panthers team has been able to give us these last few seasons. We'll see you at the parade tomorrow, folks, noon in Fort Lauderdale, FloridaPanthers.com for all the information. Until next season, as far as the Panthers Insider Show is concerned, big thanks to our guest, Jameson Olive. Thanks to Dan Day. Thanks to you. I'm Doug Plagans. We'll talk to to you coming up in the fall. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.